Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is Monday, August 10th, and we are doing part two of Mary, the Mother of Jesus, and the Glory of God, okay? And we decided that we're going to burn the candle at both ends, and I'm Dr. Shirley Kenneth, General Manager of WSCIRO, which is Zeke Internet Christian Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. And I'm here with my wonderful, alert husband, Dr. Jeffrey Kenneth. And I'm saying that, you know, with a sense of comic relief because it is 12:04 a.m. and we managed to get to do another show. We did our last one about an hour ago when it was August 9th. Now we're August 10th, and we're here on Eastern Standard Time. And, you know, we didn't want to leave a cliffhanger. Here we are. We were saying that we're going to talk about, you know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and her place in the glory as it pertains to the Catholic faith and the body of Christ at large. Because the Lord is doing a work of unity in the glory with revelation. And it says, you know, and then we used what we did on part one is that we began this talk, this biblical study from the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, talked about how the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters at the beginning of creation as the Lord spoke in the world into existence in about 6 days and rested on the seventh. And then we talked about, you know, Adam and Eve and, you know, and what happened when they were tempted by the serpent and the promise of Messiah as spoken forth by God. And then we went to Luke. And in Luke, we brought you to the place where the angel Gabriel came to the Virgin Mary, and because she was so full of grace, to make an announcement that she was going to be mother of a Savior, and spoke to her about how the Holy Spirit was going to hover over her, and she was going to conceive, okay, without the seed of a man, all right? And that they call that the incarnation. And then we began, went into John and talked more about how Mary was a woman of protocol, and because of the revelation that was given to her at the conception of Jesus, at the incarnation of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, that the Lord just revealed all these things about the life that she was carrying, about when the public ministry was going to start. And even if Jesus himself had an idea, but because he was under the authority of his mom, you know, he had to be a good Jewish boy. So finally, she was the one that told them to listen to Jesus because she knew that the Holy Spirit was going to start moving through Jesus once Jesus received the revelation to turn the water into wine. There was a need for a miracle. All right, so that began his public ministry. And then we talked about how at the foot of the cross, Jesus, while he was on the cross, just before he took his last breath, he released his mom to the disciple whom he loved the most, which is John. And we believe it was John the Divine who had the revelation of the church in the liturgy that we enjoyed at Mass and in the book of Revelation. And some people call that the book of the Apocalypse. I'm trying to say that right. I'll stick with Revelation. Amen. And so we're not done with Revelation. We're going to pick up where we left off, and we kind of jumped the gun. We were talking about a particular encounter that people received today. We talked about that the last broadcast about how even now the Holy Spirit uses Mary to prophesy what's happening, and it seems to fall in line with many of what the Kansas City prophets have declared, okay, specifically John Paul Jackson, okay, and I believe John Kilpatrick. It seems that what the Lord had prophesied through the God encounters of when Jesus would send his mother to, you know, along in the Holy Spirit to certain people groups throughout the ages and up until now to talk about what's going on, what is happening in the Spirit and where we should be. Okay, and some people, it's a controversy. Yeah, we don't expect everybody to receive this, but you can only receive it the revelation by faith. But, you know, that's one of the reasons why I believe that the Lord would raise up people like the Kansas City prophets. And I don't even like to say that because, you know, we're all individuals. And, you know, why are people always called to do, you know, are called to be in clusters? But it's just a group of people that have, you know, God's used to reveal certain things to prepare a particular part of the body. So that's how we will look at that. All right. So now I'm going to pick up where we left off for Revelation. We will start with Revelation about the woman clothed with the sun. That is one of the names of Mary. That's one of the scriptural names of the church as it pertains to Mary. Some, you know, if you're non-Catholic, you look at the scripture, you think it's the image of the body of Christ in general, or the children of the church, okay, of the body of Christ. So, you know, liken unto a woman, but Mary, you know, is the mother of Jesus, and Jesus is the son of the Father, and from Jesus and from Mary and Jesus comes the children of God, you know, and the church, you know, is known as the woman, and it's the prophetic sign of actually what happened, what occurred in the womb of Mary, okay? So I'm going to read from Revelation 12, okay, and then we'll talk about this, and I'm just going to talk to you more about the different apparitions or God encounters that have happened over the centuries, primarily last millennium or at the beginning of the early 1900s. We'll start from there, but there's also been other visitations with the same. Some places have, when Mary came to proclaim Jesus and to remind people to come back to her son and come back to repentance, it would always these apparitions would always be accompanied by the manifestations of gold, dust, and diamonds, and just like what's happening in the glory in the ministry of Ruth Ward Haviland when she was alive, and also Patricia King, and the various places where revival seems to break out. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is not a respecter of persons, but this is spoken of by Jesus' mother. Okay, and she does refer to herself as the mother of Jesus, and how she's the mother of mankind, like Jesus had stated when he was on the cross in the book of John. Okay, the woman and the dragon. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And a child was snatched up to God into his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Okay? And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses us before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. Okay. Now, I just want to go back up here, and my husband's going to talk more about the symbol of the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet. Regarding the Guadalupe, about that apparition, and then we'll work up to 1917, and what's happening now, okay, with the apparitions. And it, you know, again, when we receive Jesus, I want to say we receive eternal life, okay, and death is no more death. And when we awaken, when we sleep, when we close our eyes, we leave this world and we go to the next. But there was a place for Mary to go to, and to the earth. Now, the earth is not the physical earth that we are talking about. But, you know, we are the earth. We are the dust. And the kingdom of God is within us, okay? And so when we have the kingdom, you know, and we are earthen vessels, where does Mary go? She's in the kingdom. And we receive the kingdom because of what Jesus did. And we, you know, we have the angels and everybody in this kingdom. And we release it from within us, from within our tabernacles, okay? And this is so, it's such a mystery. But as the glory is being poured out, as we become transformed from new creation to new creation, the Lord will begin to reveal to us just who we are in Christ Jesus. So I just want to give the phone to, the microphone to my husband, Jeffrey. And he's going to share with you how this revelation of the woman clothed with the sun was lived out through the Holy Spirit through a revelation regarding Juan Diego from Guadalupe, Mexico.
In the 1500s, I don't recall an exact date, there was this peasant, Mexican peasant named Juan Diego. And he was traveling from his house to the church. And upon his return, he had this experience of Mary. And she was dressed in the garments of the traditional woman's garment of the day, of the native Mexicans. And he didn't know what it was, and he caused him to panic, the voice of Mary told him to come back the next day, and he decided that he was just going to go home because he didn't know where it originated from. And then he consulted with the local bishop, and the bishop had asked God for a sign. And this was in the winter time. Therefore, there was no wildflowers growing on this particular hill where he had met Mary. And she came to him again, and they met up with each other. And after one or two more encounters, the bishop, Mary, arranged flowers in Juan Diego's tilma, and he saw the flowers. And when he presented it to the bishop, he dropped his tilma fully open. And what happened is the picture that he saw in the apparitional vision appeared on his garment. And that was a sign given to, A great and wondrous sign appeared in the heavens, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. This describes the picture because many people studied the picture and they realized that this was a woman who was pregnant. And what happened in the situation that Juan Diego lived in, there was these human sacrifices were still going on, and that included the babies that were born were thrown into pits and other types of sacrifices. And what happened is after Mary came, the Christian church was empowered to evangelize, and within a short period of time, like 2 million people came to Christ, and they stopped, and the pagan sacrifices came to a stop.
So that was the story behind that. And to this day, if you go into some Catholic Church rectories or, you know, where there's much devotion, not only to Jesus, you know, although Jesus is the Lord and Savior, but the acknowledgement and honor, you know, to honor Mary, the mother of Jesus, our mother, what happens is that, you know, you see the picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and it's just a prophetic reminder of just what, you know, how this particular God encounter, how Jesus sent his mother to an Indian people looking like an Indian lady, in part, you know, the revelation that, you know, these pagan sacrifices have got to stop. To this day, you know, many people look to the revelation of the Our Lady of Guadalupe and what it means, and they, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to, you know, do something similar to stop the abortion. They always, you know, ask for the intercession, you know, because Mary's still alive, you know, for her prayers. Just like we're still alive, we ask each other for prayers while we're on this side of glory, while the saints, especially the ones that have extraordinary graces, are still alive on the other side, and they're praying too. And you can't invoke. Invocation is not of God, but you can ask. You know, like they're like right with you right now, because we believe in eternal life. For prayer, you don't have to conjure them up. It's not a seance. It's not necromancy like the pagans do. It's just like acknowledging, like when we ask the Holy Spirit to come, you know, the giver of life. And we just have to be in that place, to believe totally in everything that the Lord said, okay, because Mary does say in Scripture, do what Jesus tells you to do. And he says he took the sting out of death. And so nobody's conjuring up anything dead because Jesus took the sting out of death. It's all about eternal life. And he gives us life and the life abundantly. He doesn't give us partial life. And Jeff has something to say.
According to the Scripture, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he is God of the living. And he, being God, he is the only one who can communicate between the heaven and earth and the chasm between both places, because he fills, the Scripture says also, he is all in all. He fills every, he's present in every iota of creation, and there is no difference from his heavenly presence as it is. It's just no difference. It's the same. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you say that Mary is dead, then what about Jesus? Because we know, according to the testimony of Jesus, Jesus was dead. So if the saints are dead, then what good is heaven? I mean, what good is salvation? If they're not, even though they're waiting for the reunion of body and glorification of their body and reunion of body and soul at the return of Christ, you know, they are fully saved. The completion of that will be when their human bodies, which have the Holy Spirit still remaining in their bones, even though they're not alive, their bones still have the anointing on it that was in their flesh. And somebody, when somebody threw a dead man on his bones, what happened?
Wow.
He came back to life because the power of God stayed in his bones.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Preach it, Jeff. That's right. You know, the Holy Spirit is so strong that it can stay on your bones, you know, when you're on the other side of glory. So, you know, when you're only sleeping and you know, on this side of earth, I mean, you know, bodies, they sleep in the earth and they, you know, the physical body decays, but our spiritual body goes on forever. So, ooh, she ba 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 ba, oh, yeah. Ooh, shakarama, shanda. Ooh, Lord, just send that revelation. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Jeff, I really think so let's go to 1917. I want you to tell the listening audience about this tremendous God encounter that the people of Fatima had, because you know, I want you to tell them a little bit about the Muslim connection to Fatima and the message, and because it ties into the message that Our Lady had given to the people of Medjugorje through the visionaries that are still alive. But I want you to still awake on this side of glory. That's what I'm going to have to say, that we are always going to be alive forever. That's what I believe. It's, you know, we need to stop talking death talk. We have to stop talking life talk. So anyways, Jeff, honey, I want you to share with the listening audience about the apparition of 1917.
Well, as a little background to the situation in Europe, there was this philosopher called Karl Marx, and developed the Communist Manifesto, which was an atheistic document that proclaimed that man was his solution to his own problems, and so on and so forth. And these kind of philosophies were starting to spread throughout Europe. And then in 1917, the Blessed Mother appeared to three children in Fatima, Portugal. And Fatima, Portugal is named after the daughter of Muhammad. I believe it was made a place of refuge for her when she became a Christian. And the town was named after her. And this was in the, I don't know exactly times and dates, but that happened early in the first millennium of Christianity. No. Fatima's conversion. And what happened is these children were tending sheep. They were cousins. And they heard some thunder, and they kind of panicked, and they ran home. And then the next day it happened again. And this time they saw lightning, and then out of the lightning flash came, as they described it, this beautiful lady. The three of them just described, and she was, the Lord had in his presence all around her, and she made revelations of the future events that were going to happen. And one of them was the Bolshevik Revolution of, I think it was 1920, which was only 3 years after this warning was given. And Mary gave the solution. She said this is what the problem was, that there would be many people would suffer and be martyred, the good would be martyred and die, and countries would be annihilated, would stop existing as countries. and that she called the children to come back to the spot where she met them on the 13th day of the month for the next 6 months. And these children hadn't learned how to recognize time and seasons because they were really young. But on the 13th, the call of the Holy Spirit would come on them, and they would want to go to the Kova where they met this unknown lady. And one of the bishops said, "What is her name?" And Mary had messages to give, so she didn't give the answer to the question right away. And she gave the revolutions about Russia and what would happen, and so far and so good. And then to substantiate it in the eyes of the people that this was a thing from God, what happened was that it was very raining. There was knee-deep, ankle-deep mud in the place where the apparitions were being experienced. And then Mary raised her arm towards the sun, and then the sun came down and danced. But what happened, what people didn't realize was that the water from the rain all dried off of their wet and soaking clothes, and the ground was dry, had returned to being dry in a matter of moments. And one of the revelations was they were praying, and the ground in front of them where they were praying opened up, and they saw the people falling into the pits of hell. And what happened is the children's spiritual fervor increased because it was such a horrible place. Hell was such a horrible place that and Mary explained why the Lord allowed, the Father allowed the children to see hell, because there were many people who go to hell because the saints aren't praying for them. And the more we need, you don't know how your prayers will affect, even if you don't, if you're praying and interceding, asking God to bring salvation, it's not your responsibility as long as you're interceding and praying and asking for people to be saved. And the answer was the rosary, which we were talking about in our previous episode, which is a very simple prayer of Scripture. And it's proclaiming God's mercy, which started when he became a man in the incarnation. God's plan was to have a woman. I think he was talking to Hezekiah through one of the prophets, and he said, "Ask the Lord for a sign," and he said, "No, I will not tempt the Lord." But the Lord said, "This is your sign, a virgin shall conceive." And that was when Mary conceived. She was the fulfillment of that prophecy. And she became the new Eve, the mother of all the spiritually living people, because she allowed Jesus to take on his physical nature as he allowed it to be combined with his divine nature without compromise. Fully God, fully man. Yes, and the scripture is true when it says that Elizabeth said, "Why is the mother of my Lord come to me?" She recognized that the God she worshipped in the temple, the God she prayed her husband who was serving in the temple through, was standing inside of Mary's body waiting to be born, as her son was waiting inside of her body waiting to be born. He recognized, and that baby recognized Jesus too. God so loved the world that he gave us his only son, that whoever so believes in him would have eternal life everlasting.
Wow, Jeff, wonderful. That was wonderful stuff. And I just, we have about 10 minutes, but you had gone to, before we got married, you had yeah, before we started seeing each other, you had gone over to Medjugorje, Yugoslavia. I've actually only had the luxury of flying over there when I went. I flew over Yugoslavia on my way to Ireland, and that was right around the same time that Jeff went to Yugoslavia, and we didn't even know that at that point that God was calling us together to be married. But, you know, Jesus had plans, and, you know, it's just coming into fruition. But anyways, I want to give this back, this mic back to Jeff. He's going to share with you just what is going on with the Blessed Mother and the people of Yugoslavia right now over the years, and how long she's been visiting them and telling them messages from Jesus, okay, and what the plan is, what heaven's plan is for the people now. And she talked about chastisement and things like that. But Jeff, honey, there was one. Let's go back to the apparition in 1917. There was a survivor from there. You need to talk to the Viewanis before we go into Medjugorje. We only have 8 minutes, or maybe 3 minutes, about the connection of Lucia. It was the three shepherd children: Lucia, Jacinta, Francisco had passed away, and Jacinta passed away, but Lucia was the longest. Okay, and the connection that she had with the late Pope John Paul II.
Pope John Paul II was visiting Fatima, and I believe Lucia was inspired by the Holy Spirit to ask, the Pope was inspired by the Holy Spirit to ask to have an audience with her, and they met. And one of the situations that happened to the Pope, it was public knowledge that there was an attempted assassination on his life, and there was this picture somebody just spontaneously took during that situation, and it had Mary holding John Paul II in her arms, and it was like, so... Oh, there was three secrets that they were to give to the Pope, and Lucia, who was the longest lived of the visionaries of Fatima, died about a year before John Paul II did, and there was, she left her journal because her bishop asked her to write it, so she wrote it, her memoirs of the situation, and there was, there was a real old edition of the story in earlier movie technology, and then just recently there's a newer edition of the Fatima story that has been in the theaters, and Jesus.
What is that about the condition of the world and the tsunami? Did you talk about how the ocean was going to get tilted like so many degrees?
I'm not sure about that, but what I do know with certainty is that she had a vision of the church becoming one again.
Okay.
And that was the third secret. And the divisions in the church will cease, and the unity will be restored. And it will be by man's cooperation with the divine, because the divine has to be the holy God, holy mighty God, has to be the source of this unity. If he's not, it's going to be frail or fragile, like the governmental unity the world has. It's all fragile.
And when the
chastisements do fall, it will collapse because it's not built on the rock. And I just want to read you. This is from Mary. And this is a mother talking plainly with her children, who loves her children so much that she keeps praying to the Father and to Jesus through the Holy Spirit for our well-being. And this is from Medjugorje. Tell the priest, tell everyone, that it is you who are divided on earth. The Muslims, the Orthodox, for the same reason as Catholics, are equal before my son and me. You are all my children. Certainly all religions are not equal, but all men are equal before God, as St. Paul says. It does not suffice to belong to the Catholic Church to be saved, but it is necessary to respect the commandments of God and following one's conscience. Those who are not Catholics are no less creatures made in the image of God and destined to rejoin someday the house of the Father. Salvation is available to everyone without exception. Only those who refuse God deliberately are condemned. To him who has been given little, little will be asked for. To whomever has been given much, to Catholics, very much will be required. It is God alone in his infinite justice who determines the degree of responsibility and pronounces judgment. Serious reflection on the meaning of Medjugorje as a place of Catholic, Orthodox, and Muslim coexistence and peace is warranted. Medjugorje is our model. Precious time lapses as horrible inhumanity, masquerading as jihad or abortion or human embryonic stem cell research or cloning or euthanasia is promoted. Rather than dwell on the faults and failings of others, especially our enemies, we are called with urgency to be examples of prayer and peace to one another. In The World's First Love, Archbishop Fulton Sheen reflects that Our Lady is the hope of all in leading her children, and in a special way Muslims, to her son Jesus. Over 50 years ago, he prophesied, "There is still grave danger that temporal power of Islam may return, and with it, the menace that it may shake off a West that has ceased to be Christian and affirm itself as a great anti-Christian world power." The Vatican reports Muslims now outnumber Catholics 1.322 billion to 1.11 billion. Archbishop Sheen goes on to say, "It is our belief that this conversion of Islam to Christianity will happen not through the direct teaching of Christianity, but through a summoning of the Muslims to a veneration of the Mother of God." He summarized that Mary is for the Muslims the true Sayyida, or Lady. Even Fatima, Muhammad's daughter, is recognized as clearly secondary to Mary. Shall be the most blessed of all women in paradise after Mary, writes Muhammad. Our brothers and sisters need examples of Christ's love. Our Queen of Peace emphasized 25 years ago that in addition to prayer and fasting, "I am anxious for people to know what is happening in Medjugorje, speak about it so that all will be converted."
That's kind of why Mary said that
Queen of Jesus. Well, she's only queen because of her relationship to the king. The queen has great influence with the king, but she doesn't really have the power originates from the king.
And like Queen Esther, Mary, Jesus, God, Father God, through Jesus, extends a scepter to Mary. And so, you know, if you look at it in the light of Scripture, then you can see where the place that Mary takes occupies in the glory. And so I just want to just ask the Lord of glory, Lord of the harvest, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, to just bless, lavish, you know, his love upon you. And that he would make his face shine upon you to bring you to everlasting peace. Only Jesus can bring true peace. He would send people your way, if not angels, and the courts of heaven. So we ask, Lord, for that you would just bless the listening audience with a powerful God encounter, and that, Lord, that they would just come into a greater understanding of the mystery of you, of what or who you are living within them. And we thank you. Lord, we thank you for bringing them from glory to glory, from grace to grace. We ask that the glory would just overshadow them, like it overshadowed the waters of the deep and overshadowed Mary and overshadowed all those who are called according to his purpose. So we thank you. We love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.